So I asked Brian Munson last hour, we were going down the road of Nebraska-Oklahoma memories. From a Nebraska standpoint, I posed the question to him, what do you think is one player that you would have wanted that played for Oklahoma that you would have put on Nebraska's roster for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? He said Keith Jackson. Now, Keith Jackson, if you think about Johnny Mitchell wasn't very far behind Keith Jackson. And Keith Jackson, if you look at the tight ends now in football and college in the NFL, how they're used, ideal. But then there was Johnny Mitchell, but Nebraska was not really built to have the kind of Keith Jackson tight end. Or maybe they were, because back then, tight ends would catch 12 balls and 11 of them would be for touchdowns. What Oklahoma player would you take and put on Nebraska's roster? Bosworth? How would the Boz and T.O. mesh together? What about any of those quarterbacks? J.C. Watts, Thomas Lott, Jamel Holloway, Charles Thompson? Or the running backs from Billy Sims to Marcus Dupree? I'm surprised. I think that's the first time that his name has been brought up this week is Marcus Dupree. 12:06. Brett Ciancia will join us at the bottom of the hour. Last night in the NFL, Washington and the Giants. What we're finding out, or maybe this is just me, combine the people you hang around with, you interact with, you follow on Twitter. There are a lot of degenerates out there. There are a lot of people that are betting. And if you do, use FanDuel Sportsbook and my promo code Gary162. There are a lot of people that are betting. God bless you. There are a lot of people on Twitter that are betting. If you are, prove it. You know, it didn't happen if you don't have a picture. Isn't that the saying? Like last night, the Washington fan was happy. The Washington bettor, sad. New York football giant fan, sad. Bettor, happy. There's a lot of people that are betting. There's also a lot of people, and maybe it hits me more when I don't have a team that's involved and I just pay attention to people that is their team. There is nothing like the NFL when it comes to bitching about officiating on social media. roughing the passer call last night on Chase Young. Was Dexter Lawrence offside or not on the missed field goal by Hopkins where they got the second opportunity and he made the field goal? People on social media, with the NFL now entering week number two, they gamble and they hate officials. That you don't need to go to Twitter. I just summed everything up. And the Thursday night game is the standalone game. We've gotten two end-of-the-game scenarios of the last two Thursdays. Last night's game was not aesthetically pleasing, but it was entertaining. But when it's a standalone game and it's the Thursday night game, everybody seems to be watching and everybody has got a reaction. And you have overreactions to that game. But here's my simple reaction. People are betting more than I can ever recall. Good. FanDuel Sportsbook, Gary162 is your promo code. And we don't like the officiating. And we also have found something else involved with social media. I'm not sure where this turned, where it became fair game. You know, you're supposed to be respectable. But when social media blew up, so did team social media accounts that they don't care. They're going hard in the paint against the team they just beat. I mean, the gloves are off. Look at Maryland's football account. Like tonight, Maryland and Illinois play. It's a Friday night Big Ten game. Doesn't start till 8 o'clock, so Maryland fans, to watch baby Tua, they don't get to watch him until 9. But Maryland's football social media account, they no holds barred. If they win, they're going hard in the paint. Remember last year when they upset Minnesota and they took a swing at P.J. Fleck? They went hard after West Virginia after the first week. Played off of Drake's latest album that he released. But social media accounts from teams, remember Illinois took a crack at Nebraska last year? Washington last night went after the Giants. I'm trying to figure out when we turned. I'm all here for it, whether I'm doing it or it's coming back at me. You know, you can't embrace it and then when it comes at you go, oh, have some respect. No, you know, it's a two-way street. But I'm trying to think when that changed, where social media accounts were, I don't care. I'm going to have some fun with this because Washington last night beating the Giants was the latest. Now, for the Giants, in a night where Daniel Jones played maybe one of his better games, the offensive line wasn't atrocious. You had a pathetic ending where the Giants snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. And it was an amazing game. It was maybe Washington found their starting quarterback, and why not? He's a gunslinger. He likes to show off his arm. Taylor Heinicke threw for 336 last night. You go back to his playoff game against Tampa. Why is he not your number one quarterback? He should be your number one quarterback. Yeah, he had some mistakes, threw an interception, didn't buckle. But he gives you a chance. Now, on the other side, again, Daniel Jones, I thought, played pretty well. But he hasn't won a game in prime time since he's been the quarterback. He's 0-6 in prime time. His next prime time game, good luck, Richie. It's at Arrowhead against Kansas City. But do you know this? For the run that the Giants have had, and they won a Super Bowl after going 9-7 in the regular season, they have the most losses in the NFL since 2017. Their losing ways resurface. 8 of the last 9 years, including the last 5, they have started a season 0-2. A guy that is a stickler for detail in Joe Judge and a special teams guy, what ailed you last night? He couldn't do anything about Slayton dropping the touchdown pass. That's inexcusable. But your quarterback played well, but it's the same movie. Man, am I saying some things that hit close to home? It's the same movie on how the Giants lose games. I think sometimes you become a habitual loser. It just hangs over your entire franchise. And that might be the case with the Giants. But last night was bad. And Joe Judge, look it, they had 3rd-and-2. And they called a timeout. And then out of the timeout, they had a delay of game penalty. Pushed them back from the 27-yard line. They were 3rd-and-2 at the Washington 27. 5-yard penalty pushed them back to the 32. Then what happened? They got a sack. It was 4th-and-. They were forced to punt. Little mistakes. He's got a wide receiver that says, basically, if you have a Lamborghini, why don't you drive it? Which is a pretty good line. I kind of chuckled. But that's Tony, their rookie wide receiver. Man, Joe Judge has a football team that is 0-2 in a market that they are killing the Giants. And they've got to live with that for 10 days until they play again. That's the downside of Thursday night football if you lose. You got 10 days to sit on that. And who knows what's going to happen in the locker room. You saw the blow up on the sidelines? But Daniel Jones, he gets a lot of criticism, and there's a lot that comes his way because Danny Dimes can't hold on to the football and make some weird decisions. But then he rips off these long runs and then plays like he did last night, and yet the Giants find a way to lose that football game. God bless the NFL. The Thursday night games are not always the prettiest, but there are so many people that watch those games because it's the only game. And last night you saw why the Giants have the most losses in the NFL since 2017 over a couple of different coaches. They find ways to lose. Brett Ciancia joins us at the bottom of the hour when we come back. So, if tomorrow is supposed to happen, if you're saying there's a chance, is there a roadmap to how it happens for Nebraska to do something that would shock all of college football? Or Nebraska do something where it doesn't look the same? I think I might have the answer. We'll come back and discuss on the Gary Sharp Show with Mike on 1620 The Zone.